praise the Lord. Kevin and Kenneth, I'm going to need you and Kenny to stay close to me after church. I got a feeling them kids is going to jump me. Amen. They handed them phones mean mugging me. Praise the Lord. For the last 2 months, we've been dealing with this sermon series entitled Dress for Success. And I ask that you forgive my sweating profusely. I'm at the last part of a battle with something that is. Y'all see me wipe off the microphone, but not my glasses. Y'all see that? I brought that up because I know you're going to talk about me while y'all eating later on. Did you see him wipe off the mic, but not his glasses? Been battling with this sickness, man, and saints, if we don't start praying harder, because it is evident that things that Satan is putting into the earth realm has supersized, amen, and we are sitting in times where you're seeing medical experts just say, we don't really know. For the last 2 months, we've been dealing with this sermon series entitled Dress for Success. And while skimming through a bit of information this morning, I came across a quote that God would use to start today's sermon. Famous American costume designer Edith Head said, and I quote, "You can have anything you want in life if you dress for it." Can you help me with these? I need my quotes up on the screens. Amen. You can have anything you want in life if you dress for it. End quote. And many of you may be wondering, what in the world does that quote have to do with a sermon series like this? And my response would be, absolutely, absolutely everything. You can have anything you want in life if you dress for it. That's so deep. But for some of you, maybe it's not that deep as I think, or maybe it is how you're looking at the quote. In fact, for some of you, the Holy Spirit revealed to me this morning, for some of you in here, dressing for it got you just what you thought you wanted. In fact, it got you just what you were after. Can I have those, please? Just to figure out the hard way that what you thought you wanted was not what you needed, and as a consequence, some of you struggle with my newfound quote. Now, what I need you to do is shift your natural thinking to your spiritual way of thinking, and if you would allow me to present a question to you, a question that might make some sense of where I'm trying to go with this. And here is the question. Y'all ready? And I need you to think spiritually. Here we go. What do you want? That's the question. What do you want? And it seems kind of like, duh, huh? But let me ask it again, and then I want you to just kind of let that thing resonate for a second, okay? What do you want? See, because it does no good to want a Lexus truck, but you can't afford premium. It makes no sense to want a mansion, but you don't have the energy to clean it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let's take it a little deeper. Let me explain that. So the question is all going to make sense here in a second, I promise. For the last 2 months, I've been telling you that we are in a war. That we are in a war. And in this war, we are constantly fighting battles. Small battles that come with big consequences, if not won. Simply meaning, this is every battle that you're battling right now is a battle that you cannot afford to lose. So if we are in a war, and we are, if we are being hunted, and we are, and the Bible warns us in 1 Peter 5 and 8 that we're being hunted. He says, in fact, it's so deep, he says, look, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In the New Living Translation, and I didn't send it to you, don't worry about it, but in the New Living Translation, it says, stay alert, with an exclamation mark. You understand what I'm saying? Stay alert! We're not safe. Something out here trying to destroy us. So again, if we are in a war, and we are, and if we are being hunted, and the Bible proves that we are, let me ask my question again. What in life is it that you want? Let me tell you what I want. I want victory. I want to come out of this war alive. I want to be successful in these battles, these attacks that never seem to stop, that never seem to let up. Yeah. I want victory. Now. See, if I ask you what you want and you didn't want victory, then what else is it that you really could be hoping for? Ask any soldier. We have a couple of them in the house today, and especially one of my homies. He was in war. He was in physical war. He was fighting for his country, but not just his country, but for his life. And you ask him what was on your mind, and he'll tell you, getting home. And getting home means victory. You're in a war. And you might not be wearing boots and you might not be wearing camouflage, but I promise you, you are in a war and you can become a casualty. And since victory is what I want in this war, I want to come through every battle standing. I want to come out of this war victorious. And if that's going to be the case, then I'm going to have to be dressed right. And this dress, this wardrobe, this fashion statement that I'm making has to cry out. I didn't come to be cute. I didn't come to fit in. I didn't come to compromise. I came and I am dressed for victory. And since I know that one of the greatest weapons that Satan likes to use is a lie, then it only makes sense that you and I gird ourselves with the truth. Mm-hmm. Truth will protect you from the pain that the lie is causing. Mm-hmm. Some of you needed to write that one down. Truth will protect you from the pain that the lie is causing. The breastplate of righteousness is so very vital to us because it keeps us in right alignment with God. And I need you to catch this. Lord, have mercy. I meant to put this one on the screen. I need you to catch this. No righteousness, no relationship. No relationship, no resurrection. No resurrection, no rapture. Now, let me just go ahead. I'm going to say it again here in a second, but I want to put this out there because this is important. If that didn't like you ever been if that didn't you, then you need not miss another Bible study, Facebook Live teaching. You need to be calling and asking, hey, can we sit down for at least just 20 minutes a day over the phone and go through the Bible? Because if that didn't you, then that means that this thing is probably destroying you. I need you to understand, I'm going to say it again, I need you to catch this. No righteousness, no relationship. No relationship, no resurrection. No resurrection, no rapture. Lord, have mercy. No righteousness, no relationship. No relationship, no resurrection. No resurrection, no rapture. Then there is this feet that is shod by the gospel of peace. And how would you survive without peace? Peace, I've come to find out, is priceless. Peace, it works hand in hand with the shield of faith. And we are told that the shield of faith, well, let's just read about it because it's powerful. Ephesians 6 and 16 says, above all, Ephesians 6 and 16 says, above. So I'm going to tell y'all something, okay? We're in some training because, like, I believe that probably by June this whole building going to be packed out and we're probably going to be doing two services. So y'all going to see some attitude sometime. Let me just go ahead and let myself off the hook because I'm training as I'm teaching. You understand what I'm saying to you? And usually when I got to say something about something that ain't working right, people get out of here before I can get to them. So y'all, this is organic, okay? This is organic. So, like, if I see you walking around too much and my ushers ain't got on it, I'm going to be like, ushers, why are you still letting them walk around like that? You see what I'm saying to you? Hey, why we ain't got them screens up there when I say the scripture? Why the scripture ain't up there? Because I didn't come to waste your time, and I won't let my team waste your time, okay? So I love my team. They love me. But we're in a serious training because as we become mega, we're learning it as we go. You understand what I'm saying to you? And all the church said? Amen. All right. All right. Mimi, you still love me, right? All right. She's like, that's my uncle. I'm used to him. I ain't studying. Okay. Now, I want you to catch this. Ephesians 6 and 16. It says, above all, underscore that, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, God. That's deep right there. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. So if we are dealing with some things, you're going to have faith. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Hold on one second. Give me a second here. Yeah. Brent, can I get you in the drum booth? Is Brent still here? He's in the drum booth? All right. Mary, you got a pen? Yeah. McCoy, you got a pen? Y'all got a pen? Anybody got a pen? Come on down here real quick. So, Brent, stand up for me, man. Now the shield of faith. When you think about it, you know, you see this armor, you see this soldier, and he's got this shield, and he's got his sword in the other hand, right? But when I begin to think about the shield of faith, and I'm probably really off where I'm at in my sermon, but for some reason my sermon is not reading like I punched it in. Tracy, you got a pen? You got a pen? You got something like a pen? Come on. Kevin, get that from Sonya. And come on, quickly, too. So you come a little closer, Ken. Is that as close as you can get? Now, Brent is a soldier, and the darts are starting to come at him from all directions. Now, I told you in the notes that there's the darts right there, and I'm going to need the picture when I talk about the darts. So these darts are going to be coming at you. If you're a true believer, they're going to be coming at you all the time, right? But see, Brent doesn't have to worry. Throw the darts hard. He don't flinch. He ain't spooked. He's not shook. And all of you, if you wanted to, could come down here and throw your darts. But because he is behind the shield of faith. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And this is how it's going to be. They're going to be coming at you from every angle. And you got to be careful. Watch this. This is why you got to know your team. Because you got to be careful that it ain't your team that's throwing the hottest darts. Okay. Now, we might revisit this reenactment down through here, okay? All right. So as you mature in God's word, yeah, you won't believe this. The whole thing has literally been just, yeah. Wow. So, this shield of faith is so powerful, so necessary. I want you to catch this, that Paul, when it came to this particular part of the armor, he said, above all. Hold on. We still got the word, but he said when it came to the shield of faith, above all. Now, imagine them throwing, and all of you down here throwing your darts at Brent, and he don't got that shield. So give me the other picture of the dart, the fiery dart, please. Yeah, you see that? Now y'all say ooh, but y'all say ooh, but do you know what you need to understand? They're at you every day. You shouldn't be blown away by the picture. You should be blown away by what's in the picture is actually coming at you every day. You ready for this? You ready for this? Lord, have mercy. You ready for this? And it's coming for your children every day. It's coming for your those are coming for your grandbabies every day. Tyra Banks, pick your baby up. Just stand up and pick your baby up real quick. Everybody look over here, Tyra Banks, real quickly. You see her? That is coming for her every day. Does that put a little more context to it? Every day. So we ain't got time to be smoking weed. We ain't got time to be getting drunk. We ain't got time to be trying to make our boo or babe stay with us. We ain't got time for none of that because that's coming at our babies. Every day. And let me tell you something, if you are not 110% about raising your child because you caught up in something that don't make no never mind, you are a neglectful parent. Now I want you to catch this. Paul is saying, listen, if you don't take up anything else, man, make sure you take up this shield of faith. Now let's look real quickly at the same verse, in the same verse of that Ephesians 6 and 16, we're going to find out why. Why the shield of faith is so important. And it tells us in Ephesians 6 and 16, the last of the verse, it gives us a reason. And it says, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, this is very important. This part is important. Above all else, taking the shield of faith, you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now here's what's important. There's two reasons. Number one is saying, it lets you know if your faith is the way it should be, then every time that dart hits that shield, it just puts out, watch out, watch this. It puts out its agenda. It puts out its reason. Now, here's the other part I love about this right here. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of your real enemy, the wicked one. Because don't nobody care about your haters. You've got a wicked one. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, stop worrying about what such and such is saying, cause she ain't the problem, and quit watching what he did, cause he ain't the problem. What you need to be focused on and concerned about is the wicked one. See, come here real quick, Kevin, please, real quickly. Kevin, come here, Kenny, real quickly. But see, as long, and you get in front of Kevin, as long as you see, turn around, as long as you see him, you don't blame him. In fact, can I see that pen again? Stay right there. Can I see that? Thank you. In fact, no, don't hit nobody, because we ain't going to be paying nobody no insurance money. But just throw that pen out there. But as long as you see Kenny, that's who you got a beef with. But you didn't see the one who threw it. Thank y'all. You got to stop playing with the tree and start looking for the root. Does this make sense? Lord have mercy. Y'all keep getting mad at people that ain't got nothing to do with it. They're just used. Now, and so you find out that your enemy is the wicked one, not oh, Jesus. Now let me show you why this is deep. And I just showed y'all the reenactment. I swear I told y'all this was gonna happen. And so Brent was in that drum cage and he was just lifing. He ain't done nothing to nobody. But because he chose to choose God, he chose a side. And now he got darts. And can let me go ahead and just bless y'all real quick. Stop being punk. Stop punking out. The darts are gonna keep coming. The enemy don't care about you. You're crying and how much more can I do? You sound like a sissy. Shut up. I don't know how much more I'm gonna be able to put. You're gonna put up with whatever it is that he throws your way because God has you, has always had you, and has never let you down. Running around here crying, snotting, and sniveling around here. You know what that is? A sign of, an indication of, that you're not in God where you should be. I remember, is Ashley here today? Ashley said, she came in, I remember, Ashley, there she go. Can I share when we was in that room that day and we was talking, can I talk about that when you thought she was sick? And she's like, I might have cancer. And she didn't really know me that good well at that time. And so I was just sitting across, I was like, okay. And the doctor hasn't called me back. Okay. It's been a week, and I mean, you know. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? I might have cancer. And I said, but what if you do? He's still God. But what if you don't? He's still God. If you got it, you got him. If you don't got it, praise the Lord. You got, but either way, praise the Lord. He's still God. And I thank God for her spirit because most people would have walked out and said, he don't care nothing about nobody. He always talking about, but I just told him I might have cancer. And because what the problem is that most people are immature. They don't come to church for a pastor, they come to church for a pacify. Before I commit to this ministry, I just need to know how much the pastor pacifies. Because when I'm going through it, I'm going to need him to feel me. When I'm going through it, I'm going to need him to check on me. And when I'm going through it, I'm going to need him to pick up the phone. Every time I call, the devil is a lie. You see my wife, she's pretty. I ain't answering my phone every time y'all be calling me. Yeah. We don't teach this stuff for you to stay scared. Amen. My pastor said, be your army. Now, the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. And I need you to understand. You remember those darts they was throwing? I want to tell you about them darts, okay? Because they have agendas. And they have names. You got the dart of lies. You got the darts of confusion. You got the darts of hate. You got the darts of let down. You got the darts of the bad health reports. You got the darts of the people close to us dying just out of the blue. We've got darts of untrue rumors. We've got darts of our made mess ups and mistakes. You got darts of children tripping, marriage in the pits, and the list goes on. The darts will continuously go. But as long as you are behind the spiritual shield of faith. See, Brent may be under fire. Me show that one with the fire again. Brent might be under the fire, but he will not be a victim of the fire. Lord have mercy. That's what faith do you. You're going to be under the fire. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about that. But the deal is that you don't become subject to the fire. I got a problem with Christians that's always becoming subject to the fire, that's always being overcome by the fire, that's always defeated by the fire. Where is your Holy Ghost? See, the shield of faith is made up. The shield is made up of faith. It's made up of all the times before that Satan was trying to destroy Brent, but it wasn't able to. So as the darts are coming in, did you take notice? He didn't. He wasn't scared. He wasn't ducking. He wasn't depressed. He wasn't giving up. Watch this. He wasn't posting on social media. Can I just go ahead and bless you about that? That when you are going through some of the hells of your life, some of the worst things that some of you could ever do is put it on social media, because, baby, every friend on Facebook ain't your friend. Some of those people have been demonically assigned to your life, that every time that you get on there and you begin to talk about some of the things that you are going through, they begin to go into CC. Scott, I want you to understand this, because Satan got a closet too, baby. Some of you get upset with me when I get in your inbox and say, take that down. That has no business there. You have people who absolutely hate you. Why would you? Let me ask you a question. And you say, well, Pastor, you mean to tell me all 5,000 of your friends? Nope. I'm trying to sell books. I'm trying to grow church. No. Heck, half of them ain't. But if half of them buy my book, oh, God, it's a good day. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. I got Facebook for a reason. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so, but here's the deal. You won't catch me on there. The most intimate thing that I've ever shared is my cousin's passing has broken my heart. You don't know when I'm sick on Facebook. You don't know when my wife's sick on Facebook. We got a family page that every blue moon, I'll tell you when she's going through something, but we don't post our business on Facebook, because we understand that everybody's not our friend. And some of you are okay, let me tell you. We got to stop being so thirsty that every time you see a friend request, you're like, whoa! Except we ain't hit the profile. We ain't scrolled down and see what they said, not for just the last week, but for the last month. Why do you want to be my friend and I don't know you? See, because the way that I think that, you know, my destiny is far too important for me just to be inviting everybody in. You understand what I'm saying to you? Oh, God. All right, I'm almost done. I know y'all. Yeah. We ain't come for this, Pastor. Amen. I don't know what you came for then. No, for real, I'm going to tell y'all something. For real, like, what are we doing? Because everything that I'm saying here today is the absolute truth. And here's the thing. So you've amened it, but if you don't apply it, you're a liar and a hypocrite. You got to apply it. You want to be the church that is like, who cares if we do fill up doing two services, but we ain't got no power? We just like the other churches. See, around here, the way we're getting ready to set this thing up, the way this thing is going down, like we ain't going to preach none of our kids' funerals. Amen. Not for no gun violence. No, we not. Because our kids ain't going to, you understand what I'm saying to you? Watch this. I'll go to jail so that mine don't. I'll go to jail choking mine out so that mine don't. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, over here, this church community is going back to the old school when, you know, I wish I would catch you cussing. You ain't my daddy. I ain't got to be. But I know your mama. I know your daddy. And you still getting in this car. Get on there while I call your parents. Yeah. Because if we don't get back to that Christianity in 10 years, it don't look good. It don't look good. Amen. All right, let's get to it. I'm going to get you out of here. Now, when Brent is having all these darts thrown against him, you know what Brent ought to be doing? Praying. You see? Not because he's afraid, but because Brent understands kingdom warfare protocol. You understand that? That's a real thing. Kingdom warfare protocol. And this is how it should be with all of us all day, every day. Satan is going to send the darts. That's his job. But as long as you on your job, his job don't prosper. Amen? And you got to stop being confused with forming and prospering. The weapons might form, but they won't prosper. We got to stop giving up, buckling, throwing in the towel at just the forming. My God. Watch this. Then we talked about the helmet of salvation. It's the part of the redefining you. That's what I like to call the helmet of salvation. It's the part of redefining you. It's the part of setting you apart. It's a part of the making you new again. You ever have some money coming? Yeah, it's tax season. I ain't talking about $10, $20, right? I'm talking about some real bread. And you know when you got some money coming, it make you shift. Don't it? You know when you got some money coming, it make you shift. And it make you shift before you get it. But if you ain't careful, a little money make you lightweight funny style. And that's what the hope of salvation should present you as, funny style. What do you mean, Pastor? What I got waiting on me, Lord, have mercy. What I am walking myself into daily, as I am receiving this helmet, as I am operating under this helmet of salvation, this hope, you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm funny style. Yeah, y'all, I don't know if I can agree with that one. That's because you're still in the world. Let me tell you why. I'm funny style because we different. We got different goals. When you saved, you got different goals, amen? And our goals, watch this, you ready for this? Our goals promise different things. And because we value what the goals promise, we are focused not to put ourselves in a position to mess those goals up. Now, are you funny, Sal? Yeah. Amen. Huh? And we have to be, watch this, and Mimi, we're getting ready to have this moment. I want up there on the screen. What we have decided is that because of these goals, listen, this is what the Lord put on my heart this morning, but because of the depth of the promise that's rooted in the goal, we ain't funny style because we think we better than everybody. We funny style because of the depth of the goal, I should see depth, work with me. Because of the depth of the promise, and that was my fault, not Mimi's. Because of the depth of the promise that's rooted in the goal. Let me tell you something. When you begin to think about salvation, when you begin to think about life after this life, when you begin to think about eternity, you begin to think about how deep that is, and you understand, and all of the promises that come with it, you get funny style. Out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes. Confirmation. Amen. What, Pastor, why do you get funny style? Because heaven means too much. Eternity with Jesus means too much for me to get caught up with folk that want to play church instead of be church. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, here is the problem. Listen, here is the problem is that we want this thing from God, but we don't want to give this whole world up. But the Lord says over here, you right here, you're getting it now. What used to be important isn't as important as what you're getting when you're... And watch this, and you know that's the deal because that's why people around you that don't come with you have a problem with you and you coming here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't nobody want you to be a part of nothing that's going to stop you from being usable in their life. Yeah, yeah. Don't nobody want you getting yourself better. Oh, you can get yourself better as long as better don't bother them and what they're able to do to you. You understand what I'm saying to you? All right. But because of the depth of the promise that's rooted in the goal, even some of my friends got to go. It's just too much on the line. And now we find ourselves dealing with the last piece of the armor, which is so critical. Ephesians 6 and 17, we're almost done, I promise. Ephesians 6 and 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Go on, put your seatbelt on. Go on, get you a couple repents in right now. Here we go. I want you to hear me and hear me good. If you don't know the word, have the word, exercise the word on a daily basis, you're done. You don't have a chance. You're just dead people walking. You have to have the word of God. You have to know the word of God, and you have to apply the word of God. You know, there's a reason many of us stay sick in the body as well as in the spirit. And this is because we don't always take all of the medicine. We take, amen. We take enough to feel better, but not the whole prescription. And the problem with that is, just because you feel better and you are no longer dealing with the parts of the sickness that had you down, you deem yourself healed, and then you cease to take the rest of the medicine. Now, I suggest that the doctor prescribed you the amount over the course of time for a reason. It wasn't for you to take it until you felt better, than stash the rest just in case the issue arises again. Now, oh God. Now, I want you to play with this. I want you to play with this thought for a minute. Think about all the times that you did that. Every time you did that and then left a bit of the, you know, you got to feeling better and you left a bit of the medicine in the bottle. I'm talking about every time that you did it when you had the cold, the flu, the UTI, the sinus infection, chlamydia, gonorrhea. Pneumonia. Solomon. I said, Lord, are you sure? He said, and he, if I'm just being real with you, he took me back. He said, do you remember years such and such? I said, oh, Jesus. Huh? So, salmonella, you know, all of that, you know, yeah. You think, work with me. You get the picture, but and think about this now. But what happened, now just think about it. If right where you stopped taking the medicine, that bit of sickness that was there to be taken out by the rest that you stopped taking stayed. And we ain't talking about one of them. We're talking about all of them. Okay, you ready? Okay, but oh God. And so we've been walking around all these years with all this in us. And as a consequence, our sickness isn't coming from us, it's re-emerging from within us. Now look at this in the spirit. The word of God is to be a daily, noonday, and nightly pill which has been prescribed by the greatest physician that will ever be. And has the absolute ability and power to heal you, but it has to be taken on the prescribed basis and not as you feel better now. And I can prove it. Can I prove it? All right. This is why sexual sin is so dominant in a lot of people's lives. Let me break this thing down. The thing that makes sexual sin so hard to be treated is not because of the lack of power in God's medicine. God's meds is always going to be more than enough. But here's how it goes. Most people don't really even address sexual sin until their sexual sin has turned on them, and now they're either heartbroken, bitter, embarrassed, or all of the above. And now they come to the hospital, God's house, seeking God's medicine. I want you to catch this. They really aren't here to understand what really happened was their illegal sexual discretions has played them. They're not really here to understand that they have sinned against God and there is a need for repentance and forgiveness. No, baby, that ain't why they're here. They are in church to feel better. And they will submerge themselves in church stuff, under the guise of growing in God, when really they're just trying to find a way to positively stay busy so their worldly hurt don't keep hurting so much. Oh, God. So in short, they're just using God. And even though God knows they call themselves using him, oftentimes the user doesn't even know how they're truly operating. Think about that. Subconsciously using when you can't use God because he's God. So think about this. And then even when you know you ain't for real about God, he know that too. And he still gives you medicine because he loves you. Aren't you glad that he loves you despite you? Well, that's one of my daily prayers. God, I thank you for loving me despite me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now watch this. But because God loves them, despite them, he prescribes the meds. He gives them everything that they need to know, knowing that they ain't going to take them. So since they ain't taking the meds, watch this. This is going to get deep. Since they're not taking the meds, but they have taken on some roles in the church, they begin to feel better. But beloved, there is a big difference in feeling better and being better. So when the symptoms begin to arise, oh God, so when the symptoms begin to arise and come around, you begin to see a difference in the patient. You begin to see the patient, you begin to see and hear from them less. It was all different just a week ago. And that's because the patient, watch this, has decided to re-embrace the symptoms. Why are you calling them symptoms? Because they're not the root. The person ain't the root. Satan's the root. But I'm just going to embrace you. But you embrace the symptoms of the root. Lord, have mercy. Listen to this. And that's because the patient has decided to re-embrace the symptoms, and they know the great physician, Jesus, isn't going to be down with that. So now the patient is happy, but they're dying. The patient is happy on their way to hell. But God says, if you'll just return back to my medicine cabinet. In fact, he put it like this in 2 Chronicles 7 and 17. If my people... oh, Lord. 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then... I need you to understand. I don't care how you feel blessed. I don't care how it seems like you coming up. I don't care. And this is always the situation I'm in. This is the place that I find myself in all the time as a pastor, is because when hell returns, what hell's got to do, what hell understands is it can't be what everybody has prophesied hell would be if you ever take it back. What you mean, Pastor? So in other words, when hell comes this time, it gives you its best representative. It shows you a side of the hell that you've never seen. You ain't never been like that before. You a good hell now. You understand? See, this is the time. This is the reason why when you go back to something that you shouldn't, it destroys you far greater the second time around than the first. Why? Because it understands I might lose you again, so let me kill you as much as I can before I do. Oh man, y'all not talking to me. Let me tell you something. Let me see. And when you begin to sit back and you talk and you think about these things, like you said, I'm gonna go, yo, that's real. Yo, that's happened, and it will continue to happen. Until we get to this place in our lives where we go, nothing is worth him. Nothing is worth him. And you know what used to hurt me when I'd be a fool and then have to go back to God? It would be that he was always willing to take. What don't that make you feel some type of way? You know, you was warned. You know, it's been 2 or 3 times this done happened already. You know, but as a fool returns to his folly, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool to his folly. And you go back to it, and then it leaves you for dead again. Watch this, and this is what it does. Excuse me. This is what it does. It shames you into calling your help. I don't even want to come to you like this. I don't even want, and Satan is going, that's right. Go and take them pills. You ain't got no help. They don't want to hear it no more. They're going to tell you they told you so. God got to be sick of you. You sick of you. Surely God's sick of you. Go on, take them pills. Go on, slit your wrist. Go on, be done with it. But he is the father of lies. And I think that pain that we feel when we go back to him, you know, it's like the prodigal son. And when we're so focused on what we did, and everybody that's watching us, and let me tell you something, baby, it is going to be some people that's watching you when you're making your way back. But you ain't got to worry about them because they meddling anyway, and they know part of your story. They know part of your story. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the part that gets me is when the father saw his prodigal son returning from afar. Watch this. He was always waiting for you, baby. He seen you from afar, and the Bible says that he began to run to his son. He began to run to his son. Now, why is that powerful? Because in this time and culture, Jews didn't run. Because when they ran, it would make their robes hike up, and it would show a part of it. Even this was considered nakedness to a Jew. And everybody was like, what is that Jew doing running? But this Jew said, you know what? I don't care about none of that. That's my baby. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been seeking the Lord for that return. And you think I care about somebody over here talking about us? You think I care about somebody talking about? He going to give him another shout. I show him because I love him. And there's some prodigals sitting in this room right now. And I prophetically speak to you. Get on back to him. Baby, you won't walk long. He's coming for you. The boy said, look, he had a speech. He had something prepared. He was ready. As soon as I get to him, I'm just going to tell him, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy. And the Bible says he never even spoke to what the boy was saying. You know what he does? He put a ring on him. Can I just go ahead and be real? This is somebody gonna say I'm petty, but he did what your sin wouldn't. He put a ring on it. He put a ring on it. You understand what I'm saying to you? He put a robe on it, and the ring and the robe symbolized who you rock with. And because of who I says you ain't got to worry about me. You ain't got to respect me at all because I'm just a little inkling. But on the strength of the robe, on the strength of the ring, you got to give me some respect because there's authority in the ring. Listen, I'm done. In a way. He says this, if my people who are called by my name and humble themselves, if they would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then, you catch the process? Stop just trying to go back. Have a good one. I love y'all. He says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. AKA, what's that mean? I'll fix what they broke. I'll fix what they broke. Oh, God. Baby, this is a word, and this is the word, I'm telling you. And while Satan is throwing them darts, I'm shielded by faith and sticking the... You see, so what Brent should be doing is while they're throwing them darts, he's like, he's just looking at the shield, and there's that word on that, yeah. And then there's that word on there. Yeah, there's that word on that. And guess what? That's called fleeing. And the Bible says that when you begin to flee the enemy... the enemy will flee you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Oh, my God. He said, in the word, he said, I had hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against him. It's the word of the Lord that is eternal and stands firm in the heavens. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Lord, have mercy. Hebrews 4:2 says in the New Living Translation, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Psalms 119, verse number 105, your word is a lamp, Lord, have mercy, to my feet and a light to my path. John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word was God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. John 17, 17, sanctify them in the truth, and your word is the truth. Sanctify them in your truth. And it's your word. That's the truth. For the Christian, there is no world. There's just the word. We don't get down with the world whatsoever. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So I'm not supposed to understand why you operate the way you do. There used to be a time when people would say, I don't understand them out there shooting and killing each other. And I told my wife, I would say it, I do. And the reason why I was saying that is because I came from that. The reason that I say that a lot of this madness is going on right now, me and the people my age, you know, that we got a lot to do with that. But today I say, I don't understand them no more. And it's not because they've gotten crazier. They just as crazy now as we was then. It's just because now, you know, we're a little older. You know, we're smart enough to be scared now. Right? In fact, pride had me so hung up that I wasn't able to admit that I'm afraid of some of these young people out here. Until I was with my father a couple of years ago, we were sitting at before my grandmother had passed away, and we were sitting at our table, and he said, "You know what? Because my father's the hardest man I have ever met," and he said, "and the most dangerous man I've ever met." And he said, "You know, I went to get me some fish the other day, and I had on my chain and my rope and my, you know, I had on my chain and my ring and my watch." He said, "And these cats came up in there, and I began to think maybe it wasn't so wise to wear this and give me a little fish." And so I'm sitting there and I'm trying to get what he's saying. And he says, because I done looked around, there's like 2-3 of them, and I don't even carry a gun no more. He says, "And son," he said, "son, didn't you remember that, baby?" He said, "Son, I realized I've grown up, and these young boys are dangerous." And I'm looking at him, and we got on the highway. We was coming back to Lexington. I said, "Did you hear my daddy? Goldie? Goldie said he was scared?" And I went, "Ooh, because I'd be so scared too sometimes." I'm so glad he's scared. Because they crazy. That's what I'm thinking. You understand what I'm saying to you? I used to say that I didn't. I used to say that I understood it. But now, I don't now. But I'm going to tell you what I do understand. Sin. So when the young boy, he jumps out the car and he doubles down on somebody and he takes their life, and everybody says, "Oh, it's because his daddy was in prison and his mother was on dope." And we go, "Yeah, you know, it was going to be like that, right?" But see, as long as we think like that, then we don't have no need for the gospel. We got programs for stuff like that. We got therapy for things like that. And so Satan says, "You know what? I'd rather you have therapy than the word." Go on, pay all that money. Get you some of that therapy. But I promise you, it's just sin. You know why she like it. Her mom was like, "Girl, you know my mom was loose. Woo, woo, woo." You know, and so we give her a pass. No, it's not. It's called generational sin. If mama was loose and she loose, then it's generational sin. And we got to start witnessing. And as long as we think it's everything else, we don't share the word of God with the people who need it the most. The reason why we took 2 months on 6 pieces is because we need it. And after this 2-month period, if you allow yourself, especially if you were here for it, if you allow yourself to be victimized by any of these issues simply because you wasn't wearing your clothes, you are illegal. Illegal. You are playing. You are wasting your time. But you should be able to walk out of here today And the majority of the church, even the ones that aren't here today, the majority of the church caught this series. You are without excuse. And you should be able to walk out of here today and go, I'm going to tell you, I might be a few things, but a victim ain't what I'm going to be. I ain't going to be no victim no more. I ain't going to be broke no more. I ain't going to be going for the okie doke no more. I might be a few things, but what I ain't going to be is what I was before the last 2 months of that word. You understand what I'm saying to you? Not because the word was the bomb, but because God is the bomb, and he has given you piece by piece how you should never be a victim to what you've been victim to before. Can I have this? This is all right? All right? Listen. Being sick and tired has to be more than just something we say trying to make people believe we serious this time. What are we coming for? If we're going to have all the keys, all the notes, all the knowledge, if we're going to have everything that we need to be successful in this world, what's it matter if what you're after is in the world? What are you saying, Pastor? You're going to have to let that world go. What does light have to do with darkness? What does Christ have to do with Belial? What does truth have to do with that? You understand what I'm saying to you? He said, listen, come out from what's not clean, and I will receive you. Now, I'm not the smartest cat in the game, but this is how I look at it. If I come out from what's not clean, and God says he'll receive me, and peep this, he ain't just saying, I'm going to kick it with you. He says, I'm going to receive you as sons and daughters. So in other words, what happens when I begin to come out from those that aren't clean, God takes on a kingdom responsibility to take care of my every necessity. Oh. I don't have to try to figure it out no more. Because as long as I align myself with God and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to reside in me, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would lead you into all truth. Anybody ever been hurt before? Anybody? You ever been hurt before? Then how important is it to be led into all truth? Because the only pain the truth is going to cause is that pain of disconnect when you let them go. After that, ain't nothing dealing with God painful. But you have to agree. You have to agree. You can go to college for 4 years, get your degree, and don't agree with any of the professors. You can do that. But if you're going to be saved, if you're going to walk this walk for real, every scripture, every command, every yes, every no, every this has to change, you have to agree. And it can't be with that lip service. In fact, Jesus said, with your mouth you worship me, but your heart is far from me. You have to agree to the point to where we begin to see a continuity or a flow of good works. We have to see, God is looking for people that says, listen, this ain't just a little bit. This ain't just some of it. It ain't just what's convenient that I'm going to agree with, but I'm going to agree with all of it in doctrine and in deed. Amen. Listen, if there's anybody in the building today, that is tired of playing church, and you don't have to be embarrassed about that, and I'm going to tell you why. Because that playing church thing, that's a wide net, baby. I mean, man, they set the stage for us to perform. That's why you went through 50 years of and it wasn't even keeping the preacher holy. I was a hooping wonder until Noel Jones went on an interview and said, "The hoop ain't the Holy Spirit. The hoop is me." I was like, "Oh, are you serious?" They was going crazy off the hoop. Noel, are you sure that that wasn't the Holy Ghost? You know what I had to ask next? What am I going to do next week? The Holy Spirit said, "You're going to have to teach. You're going to have to apologize for playing games, and then you're going to have to teach. My people perish, and it ain't because they didn't have the knowledge. It's because they rejected it. And on the strength of you rejecting my knowledge," he said, "reject you and your kids." If we have anybody in the building today that's saying, I'm through playing. I got my armor together. I know what's coming against me. But I know what I'm ready to stand for. I understand that I'm not going to change years overnight. God understands that. There's some people that say sanctification is instant. And there's some that says sanctification is continual. They ask me, what do you think, Pastor? And I say, I think it's both. I think when it hits, when salvation hits, sanctification comes into play, and there's some things that I understand that I never want to do again. But as I learn the word, as I grow in God, I begin